is Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
So what's the latest? Oh, they came out of their evening prayers at the biggest mosque in Egypt. I think it's the National Islamic Institute in Egypt. They came out of their evening prayers after hearing, during a religious service, a call to arms against America. That's in Egypt. Yeah, they're a real swell over there. Saudi Arabia, you just heard that there's a poll. A vast majority of the people polled in Saudi Arabia think bin Laden is just solid. The Nigerians are going ape. They just love him so much. So what more do you need? Do you want to keep bending over and spreading it, or do you want to begin to get a little bit angry about this, a little bit determined? Do we want to begin to kind of turn around and now face the enemy? And like I said last hour, embrace the war. It's now a part of our experience. Make it a part of who we are. Because whether you like it or not, it's here. Now, they've just received a presumptive positive test on the contents of an envelope received at a Microsoft subsidiary in Nevada, presumptively positive for anthrax. Is this the Middle Eastern terrorists? I don't know. Is it domestic terrorism? I don't know. There's a lot of people that don't want this country to be here anymore because we live pretty good, and maybe we've stepped on a few toes. And these losers, because we live in a lot of ways in a culture of losers. I mean, the culture of loser is this. It's now okay to be a loser because if you bang a garbage can lid hard enough with a stick, somebody's going to hear you. If you mail out enough anthrax, somebody's going to pay attention to you. If you live in a tar paper shack, man, and send out a few bombs, somebody's going to read your stupid, idiotic paper on the destruction of whatever it is that Kaczynski was talking about, right? This is how a loser gets attention. A little anonymous packages in the mail. So, you know, do what you want to do, man. You don't have to do anything. You can sit back and just chill and hope that this all goes away. You're going to be wrong. Or you can join the fight, man. You can somehow get your nose into it, stick your nose into the dung pile, and get to it. Here is Lisa on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello, Lisa.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine.
Well, I just wanted to make two comments really quick. The first thing is, you know, I couldn't believe the guy that was so incredibly selfish that showed his driver's license over and over. I mean, I'm with the last caller. I don't care how many times they have to check my bag. I don't care how many hours I have to get there early. I want to feel safe, and I want everybody else to feel safe, you know. And I just, you know, I'm kind of shocked that people are, you know, pissed off about it being inconvenienced, you know.
Well, that's one guy. I don't know how many people he represents.
Well, a lot of people feel like that, and it just pisses me off, you know. I mean, I guess they forget those images that are burned in our brains, you know. And, you know, I can't forget that. I can't forget it. And I tell you what, I am one of those people that was kind of, I was kind of immobilized with fear. I didn't want to leave the house for a little while. And, you know, I got to talking to some people and, you know, I thought, this is ridiculous. You know, this is ridiculous. So I kind of got pissed off like what you were talking about. Now here's the thing.
Yeah.
I'm worried about getting too pissed off, you know.
Well, because I mean, that's easy enough to modify.
Well, you know, you have all these people that are pissed off at each other.
I'm not talking about
each other.
No, I'm not talking about the road rage kind of pissed off. I'm talking about primarily we got to get pissed at ourselves for allowing ourselves to be manipulated by this blanket of fear. Little anthrax here, little anthrax there, admittedly horrible event on September the 11th. But really, really what's motivating us right now isn't the real threat of some kind of isn't the real injury that we've suffered at the hands of terrorists so much as the fear that we're feeling that we're going to get some more. And I'm saying you got to kind of turn around and face that down and let and you control it. It doesn't control you. I don't mean running around breaking things the way a child does when he's told he's got to go to bed and can't watch TV.
Yeah, but you know what I mean by when you know, you get a lot of people charged up and pissed off at this idiot, and, you know, they don't know what to do with their energy. They're so pissed off, you know, and they can't really do
anything
about it.
I just got done saying, you don't run around breaking things like a child. We're adults.
Right.
And that means that we focus our energy on getting into the world, becoming more aware, and controlling the fear so that it's not running you, that you're running it. I'm not talking about targeting somebody wearing a Islamic headdress or, you know, wanting to go over and bomb the Afghanistanis into the Stone Age and all the other infantile, juvenile, imbecilic and stupid things that so many in the media and elsewhere have said that we should do. Because when we get done with all of our fun talk about bombing people and beating people up and sending people back to Afghanistan and all of that, we're left with right now. Do you remember in Apollo 13 when I read the book, by the way, which was called Lost Moon? It was the book written by Jim Lovell about the Apollo 13 flight. And it was a true occurrence. Jim Lovell turned at one point and looked at the two men that he was in this capsule with. One of them was, oh God, why am I spacing on the guys? It was Jim Lovell and Jack Swigert and Fred Haynes, is that right? And they were arguing about whose fault it was that someone hadn't checked the meter and the tanks. And Lovell looked at them and said, gentlemen, what are your intentions? It was recreated in the film, but he recounts it in his book, Lost Moon. You guys want to sit there and get angry and pissed and scream and yell at each other? Or do you want us to get home? What are we going to do? And those three guys, from that point forward, formulated their plan and went about the business of trying to find their way home. One of them, by the way, suffering from a very serious kidney infection. When he finally got back on the carrier, the guy had a fever of 104. But they were pissed and they were angry. And maybe it's a normal process. Maybe it's what happens when a tragedy befalls. When my father died, what do you think the first thing was that I did with my sisters and brother? We argued. We screamed at each other. It's your fault. No, it's your fault. And you didn't that. I did this. And who's going to do this? And what are we doing? And you're not pitching in enough. And yeah, you are. And maybe that's what we're doing right now. We're screaming and yelling at each other. We're afraid. We're doing all that. At some point, we have to ask ourselves, what are our intentions? When all is said and done. And the losers and the lightweights and the ones that are screaming and yelling, we got to drown them out. I hope there's enough people in this country who are willing to, the way a mother would protect a child from danger, that are willing to protect their country from this danger and think sensibly about things. I'm hoping, and I would even bet that there are. I don't know. Don't know. I'm just wishfully thinking. This is a generation that has had it pretty good. Are we going to rise to the occasion? We can tell all the great World War II stories we want. We can go see Saving Private Ryan 100 million times and read Greatest Generation until the freaking cows come home. Now we got something in our faces. So what are your intentions? You want to scream and yell about how you're inconvenienced at an airport? Do you want to live in fear until your ass is crapping rocks because anthrax is turning up? Do you want to, what do you want to be? You want to be one of those panicky people? Let's say you're going to die tomorrow. Okay, go ahead. Let's go ahead and let's talk about it. Let's say you're going to die tomorrow and there ain't nothing you can do about it. What's the last memory anybody's going to ever have of you? Some panicked, screaming idiot? Or somebody who had at least as close to a resolve as you can have in these times, a resolve about life and a resolve about forward motion and a resolve about solving problems and maybe for the first time in your life given a crap about your country? Will that be the memory they have of you, or will you go out screaming and squealing? Because, hey, you know what? You want to know something? I got a news flash for you in case you haven't figured it out. We could all die tomorrow. I might not be here tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen to me driving home to work tonight. And I ain't talking about anthrax either. I'm talking about some asshole in a car who's had too much to drink. I'm talking about a guy coming over the double yellow line. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I live today. And today, what I see are people who are still letting the fear control them. And that's why I said, you got to turn it around and you got to go into the world with the face of a lion. You have now got to become the feared, not the one who fears. Remember they used to tell you when you were a kid, you know, I remember when I was going out on a date, my father said to me, son, the reason why you're so nervous about these girls is because you see them as the prize. You have to make yourself the prize, son. And I said, gee, thanks, Dad. I'm going to do that. And I still didn't get any dates. But so rather than be the prey, Be the hunter. Get proactive. Become the Zen hunter. Whatever new age crap you want, okay? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Guy on TV, His Royal Highness something, and he comes from His Royal Highness land over in Saudi Arabia or Qatar or Guitar or Fender Stratocaster. I don't know the name of the country, but he offered $10 million to the city of New York, and Giuliani told him to park it. He didn't want his money. Now you say, well, he's one of the Saudis. He's one of those guys. He's a nice guy. You know, come on. Nah, you know, none of those guys, man. I got no use for any of them. None of them. First of all, what's so wrong about having your people vote for stuff, man? You know, what's up with this kingdom thing? I'm getting tired of having to do business with these people. I've said it so many times, I can't even hear myself say the words anymore. So take your $10 million. You know what? I'm going to start calling myself Your Royal Highness. How about that? His Royal Highness Phil Hendry tells His Royal Highness, whatever the hell his cat's name was, take your $10 million and jam it. I think Israel is bitching. I support Israel. That's my country. That's the country for me, man. I don't know about the rest of you guys and the problems you got with Palestine-ness or something else, and I'm more than happy to be talking about it, but you know what? The sooner we get out of there, the better. Somebody said New York is like living in Israel right now. Well, hello. Welcome to the world, man. We've been saying it for a month. We've been saying it for a month that the United States should use as its model the people as well as the country of Israel. They've been dealing with this crap for 54 years. 1-800-449-8686. Tim on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil.
Hi.
Hey, man. It's, you know, I'm telling you, I'm really ticked off tonight. I agree with what you're saying. We need to be willing to fight. I'm telling you, I'm sick of hearing these people say, well, you know, we don't want to have any casualties. We're talking about our freedom here, and we as a country need to be willing to do, everybody do their part. You know, whether as a businessman, as I am, or whatever, we all need to be watching out. We don't need to be living in fear, afraid to fly or whatever. Just get on the plane and fly, you know. If tomorrow's your day, tomorrow's your day, you know. But I mean, come on.
Tomorrow's your day. You know, having said what I just said about tomorrow being my day, I hope tomorrow isn't my day. But yeah, you know, don't sweat all this crap. Who knows, man? You know, the existential reality of life is this. You're here, you live, you hope you put a little bit more into life than you took out of it, and then you croak. And I don't know about the rest of it. Maybe we go to heaven, maybe we don't. I'm pretty sure we do, though. I have a belief in an afterlife. I think we're reincarnated, if you really want to get goofy about it. That's what I believe, but that's just my beliefs. But we're here, man, and we got to make the best out of this thing. And like I said, do you want to be remembered as the guy that was squealing about your driver's license? Or do you want to be somebody who maybe, you know, rallied the troops a little bit? By the way, if there's any good news out of all of this, I'm down to 230 pounds. Yes, I went back on to Weight Watchers on Monday. Hey. 230 pounds. I was on my exercise cycle this week. That puts me 4 pounds over my all-time low during my Weight Watchers of last spring of 226 pounds. So that is good news. Also, I'd just like to know, like you to know, and as I found out this week, because I talked to some former employees of ComedyWorld.com. You remember ComedyWorld.com? They ripped off our show. They used to do bits with, like, actors and stuff. Because this show, if you just joined us, we do a lot of satire where I play the part of different characters and people call in and think they're talking to real people, right? I found out the Comedy World used to do that with one of their shows. As if they didn't get their idea from me. I've been doing this for 10 years. Well, guess where they are now? Out of business. Maybe they should have put some of those reinforced cockpit doors on their website. Did I say cockpit? Cockpit. So 230 pounds, and it's a beautiful thing. Indonesia, by the way, today, Supposedly, they had some protests planned. They fizzled. They got less than 1,000 people at these. I know that Pakistan, in Pakistan, they've called for a general strike. The whole world hates our guts. They all hate us. They're all screaming and yelling and jumping up and down and burning the flag like we haven't seen that before. And let's see, they have a general strike called for Monday, and if that thing fizzles, then you pretty much know you're dealing with 5,000 to 10,000 fundamentalists and a few really whacked out students, but everybody else, and that means when I say everybody else, that means the labor of the country, that means the actual working middle class of the country couldn't give a crap. Here's David on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello, David.
Yeah, Phil. Yeah. Earlier you said you're willing to bet that there's a good percentage of the U.S. people that are there, that, you know, they're going to be the protective mother of the child.
Well, I said that in a moment of positive feeling.
But, you know, I'm right there with you. I'm in that 10% or so. I'm sure there's more. But what I was saying was there's a guy that I work with, and I'm at work now, but this guy, he seems to think that we're going to be like Russia, and we're going to go in there, and we're going to wind up getting our asses kicked, and they're going to take our equipment and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I had to point out to the guy, you know, this is different times. We're not just running in there with our half-cocked, with our weapons, you know, and just getting our asses kicked all over the place. You know.
No, this one is going to be one in which battalion-size units go in, which is around 850 men. They move in and then they move out. They're not going to be in country for long periods of time. They go back to a base, perhaps controlled either by the Northern Alliance, or it's controlled by the Uzbek. You know, it's in Uzbekistan. It's not going to be tanks rolling down the road and missiles rolling into Kabul. And why do I say that with a fair amount of assurance? Because we have been consulting with the Russians on this deal almost from the gate. And if you even spend 1 minute a day reading a newspaper, even cut that back 30 seconds a day reading a newspaper, you know that our military is well aware of that. We had Dale Dye on here, retired captain from the Marine Corps. He said, it sure ain't Vietnam, baby. And this isn't the Russian experience of the 80s. This is a whole different ballgame. Now, here's what I'd like to see happen. I'd like us to turn the propaganda war against these fundamentalists. I'd like to get our military maneuverings off the front page. I realize that I'm asking for, I might as well be asking for a full head of hair of my own. I might as well be asking for a head of my own hair than to say, you know, let's get this, our war off the front page. I'd like to see some of our, if not all of our military operation now go a little bit more covert, a little bit more quiet. If we're going to be in country with ground troops, I'd like to have a lid just snapped on top of that so that they don't know what's going on. It's not some huge assault by an amphibious landing force of Marines. It's not an enormous armada of tanks rolling through the mountainous highways of Afghanistan. It's not American troops that are photographed in their helmets and their gear and everything moving through the mountainside. Just like quiet. Just quiet. They want to terrorize us? Maybe we can turn the tables and terrorize them. I'm not talking about the Afghan people. I'm not talking about the Islamic people, the Muslim people, the Arab people, the Sunni people, the Jain people, the whirling dervish people. I'm talking about the terrorists, as the president so very clearly said, that are the enemies of this country. If they can slip in unnoticed, maybe we can slip in unnoticed. They want to take out some of our people? We do the same. In other words, as I said in the last few minutes, let's put the fear of Jesus into these guys for a change, okay? And the rest of you guys, suck it up. I'm Walter Cronkite. 1-800-449-8686. Really, I understand why you're upset and why you're afraid, and we're here to tell you that if you visit the Phil Hendry Show .com website, PhilHendryShow.com website, you can play an interesting game called Hendroids, which is our version of Asteroids. It'll take the pressure off. Also, our streaming audio, a subscription-based site, starts Monday. We'll be back with more. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
On our website, philhenryshow.com, Phil Henry Polls America is a poll that we do each and every day, different questions. Today's question, is the country sufficiently pissed off yet? A, we're as pissed as we should be. B, not even close. C, we're too pissed. D, we shouldn't be pissed at all. Or E, piss off with this poll. And let's see what's leading. In first place right now, with 61% of the vote, people say, no, we're not even close, angry enough yet, pissed off yet. In second place, with 20% of the vote, piss off with this poll. And in third place, we're as pissed as we should be, 16%, and the other two are negligible. So there it is, the Phil Henry website poll. And in the future, we ought to make it like subscription-based to vote on the poll, right? That means we're like three guys voting. You want to vote? Yeah. Then join now for $6.95 Phil Henry Streamlinks. All kinds of great audio. Cool stuff. We hope you can do it. 1-800-449-8686. Mike, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello?
Yeah, I wanted to say, taking it back, Phil Henry, to when you said you believed in reincarnation.
Right.
How can you say something like that and then talk about going and bombing over there? You know, you'll come back as a fly.
Yeah. Is that reincarnation? Coming back as a fly?
If you're talking about killing people, whether innocent or guilty.
I don't know that. I thought that was transmigration, coming back as a fly. I don't know that was reincarnation.
If you believe in,
what do your
back,
studies lead you to believe, Mike? Is that transmigration or is that reincarnation?
Basically, I just think it may. You know, you're talking about eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth that makes you both blind and toothless, Phil. Does you no good.
No, I'm not talking about eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. I'm talking about dropping some bombs on some guys.
What good did it do Bin Laden to come and do something like he did over here? It brought NATO against
him. It got us mad at him, and so we're dropping bombs on him, but that you don't want us to drop bombs on him, so therefore he could come over here and do what he did, and then he could get away with it because you don't want me to drop a bomb on him.
Does bombs stop it? It didn't do it for Saddam Hussein. We said when we went
did
and
pretty good
him,
against Hitler.
That was okay.
Would you give me that one? It did pretty good against Hitler. You going to give me that one, Mike?
I'll give you that one.
All right, there you go.
I think it's you see, the thing is, you know, it's not getting us nowhere. It's a total different time now, Phil.
If you want the fast food war, Mike, like the war will be over in the time it takes you to get your Big Mac, sorry, it ain't going to happen that way. Wars take years, Mike, and they take a lot of lives, and they take a lot of time and trouble, and we're just not going to get the MTV Total Request Live going here as quick as you need it.
I understand, Mr. Henry, but the thing I'm saying here, what I'm saying is, okay, now those planes.
I'm coming back as a bug. Was the last place you were at with us?
We had those problems up in New York. We lost a lot of lives. Now we're going to send more American lives over there, and it's not about American or any other nationality. It's about lives that we're going to lose. More brothers, more sisters, more fathers.
There's an old saying, man. Do you want to live free in a prison, or do you want to die at least fighting for the chance to be a truly free man? What do you want to do?
Is this what it takes for us to live free?
Is this going to get your nose in it, Mike? Get your nose in it, Mike. Because yes, this is what it takes.
It didn't stop Hussein, like I said.
It didn't stop Hussein. It got his ass out of Kuwait. That's what we wanted to do.
I don't know about that. I don't think
that? Last time I checked, Kuwait, Hussein's ass is out of Kuwait.
Let me put it this way. So then you're going to go do the same thing in Afghanistan. You're going to bomb and you're going to leave the Taliban in control so the same thing continues to happen.
No, how
so
about we if we could get the Taliban out of control? How about if we get the Taliban out of control?
Once again, that's
how about if we get the Taliban out of control? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Then you haven't been reading a newspaper or listening to what President Bush said, because he said it's not only to get the terrorists, but the governments that support them. And he's been saying it over and over and over again. So, no, you haven't heard him. And the Taliban regime supports Bin Laden. So it's to get the terrorists as well as destabilize and remove eventually the government that supported him. And that is the objective.
Is it gonna look at all the everybody else is pissed off at us. We're making more enemies than what we already have.
So let's sit in the corner and wet our pants, Mike, and have mommy change the diaper, and maybe nobody would be mad at us anymore. Is that what you want?
Not necessarily.
Yeah, get out of here, will you? Okay. I mean, there's only so much time and trouble that I can take with the remedial English 101 class. Okay, I got to move on with the other students now. Hey, look, if you're afraid, you're afraid. Just say you're afraid. I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I'm scared. Just say it. Don't put on the posture of humanitarian. Don't put on the posture of pacifist. Don't assume a humanitarian posture to mask your fear. Just say you're afraid. But to say things like, is killing people going to help? It's just a bad thing. And, you know, your fear is screaming through your words. I'm afraid. I have no problem admitting that. Anybody that says that they aren't is not being honest. I mean, you can see right through it. You can see right through it. You still have to act. You still have to do what you got to do. This isn't Vietnam. It ain't the Gulf. Somebody murdered 6,000 Americans with a couple of airplanes. It was an attack on the Pentagon as well. 200 more people there. We got somebody mailing anthrax to us. You know, we got to do something, okay? Quit with this this mindset that you, like, we have the luxury of thinking restraint and peace. We do not have that luxury anymore. That went out the window on 9/11. Out the window. I haven't gotten too many more faxes, by the way, from some of my Quaker friends urging restraint. Maybe they ought to send some of that anthrax over to the Quakers, man. They start sucking that stuff through their nose, and then they realize that this is a serious and real situation that takes a little, you know, I've got to put a glove on and go to work on somebody's face. But if you're afraid, you're afraid. No shame in admitting that. Jason, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Thank you for taking my call.
Got it.
I got one thing to say about the last caller. Live free or die. My point was...
Did you make that up?
Excuse me?
Did you make that up?
No, that's New Hampshire's state motto.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure he's heard it. I don't want to go back to a subject you were talking about too long ago, but with this anthrax...
Yeah.
They're saying that this is isolated cases, or they were when it first hit. But they're also saying, you know, factual-wise, the first guy that came down with it here recently was the first guy within 25 years to contract the inhaled form of the virus.
Uh-huh.
And it just seems like an extremely...
Well, it's very true that this is a criminal event, and it's very true that somebody is trying to take advantage of the country in its weakened state right now. What they're saying is they cannot link it to Middle Eastern terrorists. Could be domestic terrorists. It could be somebody working alone. But to say that it is absolutely linked to the Al-Qaeda network or the individuals that we're doing battle with regard to 9/11, the FBI is saying there is no connection.
Okay, so they're no longer saying that this is isolated?
Isolated? I didn't hear them even say isolated. What I heard them say is that there was no link to terrorism.
Okay, I heard with the first two cases they had said it was isolated. I haven't heard.
Well,
you know,
then they got
different.
New York, so they can't say that it's isolated anymore, can they? But that was before they had New York.
And that just come out today, correct?
Yeah, so anyway, so what do you think?
I got one more quick question. I don't know a whole lot about the Postal Service. Is there any way that they can track this through mail stampings?
Well, they already have tracked the stamp on one of the envelopes that came to NBC, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and the other thing that you have to know about this anthrax virus, or anthrax bacteria, I should say, to weaponize it, that is to take it, to manufacture it and then weaponize it, make it something that is deadly for, you know, not make it something that's deadly for a human being, but something that can be delivered in a deadly form. You have to go through a number of stages to do that. And each stage, according to bioterrorist experts, can be tracked. As you develop it, you put basically a return address on it. They can track the manufacture. They can track the stages that it took to weaponize this bacteria and eventually come up with the manufacturing source or the manufacturing matrix. And from that point, to put it in a very cryptic way, and I'm quoting the bioterrorist expert, once we get the address, we know what to send back. 1-800-449-8686. Wasn't that kind of heavy the way I said it? Once we get the address, we know what to send back. Really kind of gets you right there, doesn't it? Gives you the, huh? Oh, somebody else said it before me. Okay, never mind. Here is Matt on the Phil Hendry Show. Matt?
Hey, Phil, I just want to thank you for doing such a great public service by informing people of the truth, and you're right on, man. I just want to tell you thank you so much for delivering a positive message. After I sit at home and watch CNN all day, I turn on Phil Hendry, I get jazzed about being American all over again. I just want to say thank you.
Well, CNN are a bunch of commies. All right, pal?
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. Here is Josh on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello?
Hi, Phil. How you doing?
Hi, good.
Hey, I just want to make a comment. I've been a long-time listener, and I'm enjoying your show more and more each day. And I've been noticing the past couple of weeks how you've been mentioning how, you know, the patriotism goes, and then all of a sudden you have people that waver in that. And I think a couple of the guests today, namely the guy that had the problem with the airports, is just that case. I mean, if that happened September 12th, he wouldn't have been saying anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you. You're right.
And all of a sudden it just keeps going and going. And I also think the whole fear factor, if you don't have fear, you know, you're a fool.
You gotta admit to how you feel. And we're afraid. And I think most sensible people will say that. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Wow, who wouldn't be afraid? It's a freaky set of circumstances. But to cloak it in some, you know, humanitarian posture, or to pretend like everything's cool, or, you know, or all of this inconvenience is not going to do a thing and we need to do more. Guys like that remind me of those people that I used to see in the airport standing at the ticket counter, pounding their fist on the ticket counter at the airport and screaming, it's screaming at some poor ticket agent because their plane left or they didn't have their, they didn't bring their Tampax with them or whatever the hell their problem was, you know.
I agree.
Look at pal, air travel is difficult enough. And it's not a very comfortable process going in and out of airports, so we already know this, but we got to do what we got to do. We got to fly safely. Yeah. You know, we got an airline industry right now that is laying people off because people are too freaked out to fly. Because they're calling off this because their trip to Fresno, there's bound to be a terrorist on that plane, man. He's going to take you right out. You know, I got a friend of mine who just flew up to Vancouver this past week for the Canadian Thanksgiving. I mean, there's people flying. There's people that I work with that are out there traveling. And I'm going to tell you something right now. The airfares that I'm seeing to Hawaii right now, you got to be nuts not to take advantage of some of those. You think I'm putting you on? I'm not. I'm taking a vacation and real soon. If for no other reason, I can just get out of here and not have to listen to some of these screwballs that call in. You can get over to Hawaii round trip for like $250 or something. $300 round trip to New York. You got to be nuts not to take advantage of something like that. Oh, what's that you say? There may be a terrorist on the plane who's going to, you know, drive it into the side of a building or something. Yeah, this country has never been more in a heightened state of awareness and security alert for air travel than it is right now. It couldn't be safer to fly than it is right now. But forget that. Everybody in America, what we do is we overreact after the event. So now it's safe to fly and nobody wants to fly. Meanwhile, you guys have been opening your mail. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Straight
talk show today because of the events in New York, the anthrax in New York, and they are testing some powder in Nevada, and people are a little bit on edge, so we have sort of dispensed with the broad, not the broad, but the very razor-like comedy that we present in this program. We've dispensed with that, and that means no Joe Dickhead tonight. However, I will have my NFL picks. Joe Dickhead and the Professor, as you know, high atop the four corners on the Las Vegas Strip, will generally give you their picks on a Friday night so you can know what to bet on the coming weekend, what not to bet, and that is what they pick. Sometimes those guys are so stupid, they pick something, and then they tell you if you call their hotline, they'll give you that game, even though they just told it to you on the air. So they're really dumb. But here they are. Here's Phil Hendry's picks for this weekend, Sunday, October 14th. This is what I would do. And by the way, last week I went 11-3. Okay, you like them? Yeah, okay. I went 11-3 on my picks last week. So here we go. Arizona at Chicago. Yeah, I know what the Cardinals did to the Eagles. I still ain't buying it. Chicago is at home. They destroyed Atlanta last week. I like Chicago in that ballgame. Baltimore, Green Bay. Green Bay coming off that terrible loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I had Green Bay in last week's game. It was one of the three that I lost. But I like Baltimore on the road against Green Bay. I say Baltimore in that game. Cleveland at Cincinnati. The Browns are blessed. They are a divine team these days. That win at home against the Chargers was a big one. Cincinnati is not quite, after some early season power, I think Cincinnati is not quite up to it. I think Cleveland will beat Cincinnati at Cincinnati. Detroit is at Minnesota. The Vikings can't be that bad. I see the Vikings winning at home. New Orleans at Carolina. I think the Panthers, who played very tough and very close. You know, New Orleans beat Minnesota, but Minnesota probably isn't even one half the team it was last year. So I like Carolina at home against the Saints. New York Giants and the St. Louis Rams. What do you think? Rams at home. You got it. We're picking the Rams. Pittsburgh at Kansas City. My friend Mr. Schaefer, of course, has his early season favorite, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Right now, he's dragging his ass on a driveway. But anyway, I say that Pittsburgh wins on the road against the Kansas City Chiefs in that big ball game. San Diego at New England. Everybody's still crowing about what New England did against the Indianapolis Colts. The Chargers coming off a very tough loss to the Cleveland Browns. I like San Diego on the road against the whatever the hell they're called, New England Patriots. San Francisco at Atlanta. Is there any doubt San Francisco beats the Atlanta Falcons? Tampa Bay at Tennessee. The Oilers 0-3 this season. Are they that bad? Yes. Tampa Bay, although, oh, did I say the Oilers? The Tennessee Titans? They should have kept the Oiler name. Where'd they ever come with that? Oilers bad enough, but Titans really stinks. What do you think, Tampa Bay or Tennessee? Tennessee's at home. I'm going with the Buccaneers. Tampa Bay Bucks on the road against Tennessee. Denver is at Seattle. Seattle played strongly. Didn't they play a good, strong game against... Who'd they beat? Seattle beat somebody at home. It was really a big game, but screw them. Denver beats Seattle on the road. Miami is at the New York Jets. I like the Dolphins in that game. Oakland is at Indianapolis. In the old RCA Dome, Raiders. Yeah, really, it's almost like I was taking a dump there, wasn't it? Yeah, it's the Raiders. Okay, Washington at Dallas. Oh, man, what a disgusting display that'll be. The Skins and the Cowboys. I say the Cowboys. And forget the Monday night game. I don't know. Oh, that is the Monday night game. There you go. Those are my picks. God bless all of you. Have a great weekend. Come out firing Monday, baby. Remember, the face of a lion. That's what we got to do. Starting Monday, we ain't taking this crap any longer. The Phil Hendry Show.